Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Paul's fellow workers and friends. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 16, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And Paul was not forbidding women to speak in church at all, as some people say he did. He was forbidding them from interrupting in church, an outburst. That's what he was forbidding them from doing. He acknowledges that women pray and prophesy in the church. Prophesying was another way of describing ministering the Word of God. So when you put the whole thing together, and this is my belief on it, my opinion, when you put the whole picture together, again, simply Paul is saying, as going back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, if a man desire the office of the overseer, he desires a good thing. Those statements are preceded by, I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over the man. You have to follow the context. We have a chapter break that almost makes you think that he's moving on to a completely different topic. But if you realize that he's following his line of thought right on through, he's saying women aren't to hold the position of a pastor, but if a man desires the office, he desires a good work, and then he gives the qualifications for it. So, you really can't force from Phoebe a dogmatic, women are deacons, and Phoebe was a ruler over Paul, and therefore women are to be bishops and apostles, and this is reading things into the text that are not there. But again, ladies, there's lots of ministry that you can do, and you do lots of ministry, and how thankful we are for it, and how enriched we are by it. Now, there obviously are denominations that allow for women pastors. There are denominations that even push for the ordination of women bishops and things like this. Some of them are doing it from a theologically liberal standpoint. Others are not theologically liberal. It's just more cultural. Some of the Pentecostal churches, you couldn't refer to them as theologically liberal. They're not. It's more of a cultural thing where they will have, sometimes the movement was started by a woman, so they figure, well, if a woman started the movement, we guess we can have women pastors. And in those particular cases, I think it's just a matter of, well, it's an area of Scripture that they just have chosen to not really take to heart and apply. That's between them and the Lord. But our understanding is that God has set that limitation. And it's just that one limitation. But quite often, husband and wives in ministry minister as a team. And we find there's a reference to a couple that did that right here in verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. They come up several times in the Scripture. 5 different references to this couple. And interestingly, 2 out of those 5 times, and one is here, Priscilla is named before Aquila. Now, why is that? Who knows? I don't know. But I would imagine that Priscilla was probably quite a personality. And maybe her name just naturally came up first a lot of times. But these guys were a ministry team. Listen to what Paul says. Greet them, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. So they were traveling companions of Paul. They ministered alongside of him. They shared the same occupation. They were tent makers, as was Paul. And Paul says here that they risked their necks for his life. We don't know exactly when or how that happened. It's not recorded for us. But this couple was near and dear to the Apostle Paul. And they were a dynamic ministry team. Do you remember the man named Apollos that we find in the book of Acts? The 18th chapter of the book of Acts, we're introduced to Apollos. And it says regarding Apollos that he was a man who was mighty in the scriptures. He was an Alexandrian Jew. He was mighty in the scriptures and he was testifying about the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. And these two heard Apollos preaching. And they recognized that his understanding was limited, that he didn't know the full story of the gospel. So it says that they took him aside. They both took him aside and they taught him the way of God more excellently. So here's this ministry team, husband and wife, taking Apollos, whom Paul refers to as an apostle, and they are giving him a more full instruction in the faith. So you see what, you know, right there, that's a beautiful picture of a woman ministering right alongside of her husband and ministering the word. You see, some would say, oh no, women can't teach men. Well, nobody told Aquila that. And nobody told Priscilla, hey, you can't talk. This is just for men. She evidently ministered right there alongside of him. And I'm thankful that I've got my own version of Priscilla and that we get to minister alongside of each other. And I can think of many times where we've been in those kinds of situations where, you know, where God's just using us. And I'm so thankful to have the wisdom that Cheryl has and the insight and the counsel that she will give. And I will so often just sit and listen and think, man, that was the word. And, you know, it's like you're a team and you're working together. You have something to contribute and then, you know, you sort of back off a little bit and the other person steps in and ministers and, you know, it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's what we had with this couple here. And so they're now in Rome and Paul's sending greetings to them. And then he goes on here and he says, greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles and they were in Christ before me. Now here's the second reference that the feminist theologians try to capitalize on. Junius or Junia is more than likely a woman's name. Granted that's probably the case, and probably another husband and wife team that's mentioned here. Now, Paul says they are my kinsmen, meaning that they are Jewish. He says they were his fellow prisoners, implying that they were in prison for the gospel. But notice it says, and this is the proper translation, they are well known to the apostles. And that is the best translation. But other translations state it just a slightly different way. It states that they were of note among the apostles. Now, those looking to build a feminist theology took that and said, look, right there we have Junia. She was among the apostles. Junia was an apostle. And they tried to build a theology that women can, did in the early church, hold the role of apostle. And certainly there is absolutely no reason today why a woman cannot be in that same position as a bishop or something like that. But that's not what it says. And again, you know, it doesn't do any good to try to read something into the text that isn't there and try to force yourself into a position that God hasn't ordained one to be in. But of course, this generally happens amongst those, as I mentioned earlier, who have embraced a liberal theology, which is no theology at all, essentially. And it's not so much about God and His will and what God wants to do. It's more about power and politics and things of that nature. But astoundingly to me, just this one little sentence is what they build their whole theology of women apostles on. Sooner or later, if you haven't already, you're going to come across this stuff. You're going to meet people that are going to come to you and say, listen, the Bible says that women are just as much called to be apostles as men are. And as a matter of fact, there was a woman named Phoebe who, she was the authority over the Apostle Paul. See, this is all the kind of stuff that goes on in the academic realm and in the sort of culturally elite realm. Religion is always there. It has its place in all of these conversations. And this is the kind of stuff that's being talked about. So you'll come across it at a certain point, no doubt. And again, you just simply can say, well, you know, that's really not what the text says. That's the rebuttal. It's just not what the text says. It doesn't say that Junia was an apostle. It says that her and Andronicus, if indeed it is a her, there is some debate about whether or not it's actually a woman. But it just simply says they were well known to the apostles. That's all it says. So they were well known to the apostles. And Paul says they were in Christ before I was. So they were Christians before Paul was converted. But he knows them. He's sending greetings to them. And then he goes on and he's got a number of other people here. Amplitus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, my beloved. Stachys, greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Now, Aristobulus was probably the descendant of the family of Herod. That's probably who's being referred to here. And there were those in his household, just like there were those in the household of Caesar, who had become believers. And so Paul's sending greetings to these. And then he says, greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa, another reference to women, sisters, evidently, who were there serving the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. In Mark's gospel, Mark was written to the Romans, particularly. And when Mark refers to Simon from Cyrene, the man who carried the cross of Jesus, he refers to him as the father of Alexander and Rufus. So apparently this Rufus is the same as the son of Simon of Cyrene. That's what most commentators would believe. And there he is in Rome. And so again, Paul carries on greeting to these other brothers and then down with Julia, Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. So we see that in the early church, It was bond and free, side by side, no difference. It was male and female, side by side, no difference, serving the Lord. He commends the different women that he mentions here for working hard. And it was just this beautiful combined effort in the church. And that's the way God intends it to be. And he's given us all different kinds of gifts, and he's put up an order. There is this idea, and I think it's the right one. It's the idea of a first among equals, if you will, in leadership. So even when it comes to pastoring, even when it comes to the overseers of the church, the church has had multiple pastors, just like we do here. We have multiple pastors. But then amongst that group of multiple pastors, and of course, depending on the size of a congregation, the more you need able men who can minister. One person cannot minister to large numbers of people, obviously. But then among that group of overseers, you have what you might call the first among the equals. They're all equal, but then there's the first. There's the one that God's given the lead. There's the one that God's given the vision. There's the one who, you know, to a large degree, giving the direction and so forth for the church. But it's not a dictatorship. It's not just one person doing everything. It's a combined effort. That's the picture. And when it works like that, when it functions like that, in other words, it's a beautiful thing. And all of these different gifted people are contributing to it, and it's making for the health of the body. And so it is within the church. There's a governmental structure, and it's not based on, you know, this person is better than that person, or men are better than women, or women are better than men, or it's not based on any of that. It's the governmental structure that God has ordained. And it's to work in a certain way. And just as there are three persons who are God who are equal, so within the church, there is this structure. And there is the overseers. And then there amongst the overseers, they're the first among equals. And the qualification is male leadership. But then there's, as I said, many, many things that the women can serve and do. And if you want to push it and say, I believe that women can be deacons, well, fine. Go ahead. You can believe that if you want. And you might be right. Because Phoebe was the deaconess of the church. But whether it meant the official position or just simply a way of referring to her being a servant, we don't know. But either way, it doesn't necessarily matter because they serve in that practical role. They're not in the position of the primary leadership. And so there's a variety of things that are available. And, you know, when you think about it, if a church, a congregation, you know, if it's male dominated, there's going to be some huge gaps. You know, I mean, it's like the difference between a men's retreat and a women's retreat. You know, you go to the men's retreat, there's no frills, there's nothing. You just get there, hey, there's your bed, there's your sleeping bag, you know. Oh, what about the heating? Oh, don't worry about the heating, you know. We don't need that. The tables aren't decorated. They don't have any nice little gifts for you or anything. You go to a women's retreat, and they treat you like you died and went to heaven. They give you all kinds of gifts when you get there, and the place is so beautiful, and they've got manicures and, you know, all of this kind of stuff going on. And, you know, thank God that he blended us together. It makes it nice. And we've learned some stuff from the gals. We're getting a little more sensitive. A little more comfortable, and some nice snacks when you come, and got the fireplace going, and all, you know, it's. So we're learning these things from each other. But it's a complementary thing. You know, speaking of the men's retreat, Ken Graves was one of our main speakers, and Ken was teaching on Genesis, and he had this interesting theory, and it had to do with the creation of man, and then it had to do with the creation of woman. And his theory was that, you know, it tells us that on the sixth day, God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Male and female, he created them. That happened on the sixth day. And all that happened in Genesis chapter 1, the 6 days of creation. Now, when we come to Genesis chapter 2, we have the details of the creation of woman. And what Ken said that I thought was interesting, he said, I don't think that woman was separated from man on the sixth day. But when God created man, he created man with, in a sense, with the woman in the man. And after a period of time, he argues that it was more than a 24-hour period, God brings all the animals before Adam, and he names each one of them, and then he notes that amongst all of them, there's not a helper that's suitable for him. And then his point was this. He said, now notice, when God created Adam, he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But that's not what happened with Eve. What happened with Eve? Eve was taken out of man. Adam was put to sleep, and Eve was taken out of man. And it was really interesting. The point that he was getting to was he was saying that in God, there is this thing that corresponds to both male and female. That there is that aspect of God's nature that is very much what a man is. But then there's another aspect of God's nature that is very much what a woman is, in the sense of her sensitivity and her tenderness and her caring and all of that kind of stuff. And we do see both of those things in God himself. But he was saying that what God does is when he brings a man and a woman together in marriage, then the image is more fully manifested because you have both of those things once again combined. And I thought it was interesting. And the more I've thought about it, I thought there might be something to that theory. But all of that to say, it's a beautiful thing. So the smartest thing, the wisest thing, any woman can do, or any man can do, is to seek to fulfill the call of God upon their life in the designated role that he has designed for them to function in. Instead of aspiring to something that God has not ordained for you, seek to be fruitful where God has ordained you to be. Accept what God has granted. Why not just accept and say, hey, this is what the Lord has appointed for me. This is where I'm going to be blessed. This is where I'm going to flourish. This is where I'm going to attain to my fulfillment. That certainly is the case. And so stepping into those places that God has ordained for women to serve in, husband and wives serving alongside of one another like Aquila and Priscilla, and being content to just be part of what God is doing and part of his body, that is surely the wiser position to take, the one that will lead to much happiness and true fulfillment. And so at the end here, Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Watch Out for Deceivers. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Paul's Fellow Workers and Friends. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B-0163. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.